Well, now this is your opportunity to run for the door because I'm going to teach on fasting today. All right. Now we're watching, seeing if anybody leaves. Right. And let me tell you why, though. We're not really. It is the first quarter, and Dave kind of established, but he set somewhat of a tradition in the first quarter of the year. We teach a lot on fasting, and that's good because we just come out of our feasting time, you know. Christmas and Thanksgiving and New Year's. So, but why do we do that? Why do we teach it on fasting for fasting? See, we really don't teach tongues just to teach about tongues, really. All of these things are a means to an end. The purpose of tongues is not to speak in tongues. The purpose of tongues is to change us. Purpose of fasting is to change us. The purpose of renewing your mind with the Word of God is to change us. The purpose of confession is to drill deep. When you speak it out of your own mouth, do you know no one, you don't believe anyone as well as you believe you? When you hear your own voice speaking the Word of God with authority, don't tell me it doesn't affect you. It does. It affects the deepest part of you. So all of these things are for a purpose. We're not just teaching fasting to teach on fasting. Yes, sir. Now, ultimately, this is what it's about. Jesus said in Mark 16, those that believe, I'm just going to pick on one part now. Those that believe in my name, they shall lay hands on the sick. And they what? Maybe recover? Sometimes recover? They shall recover. But did you notice the qualifier? Those that believe. When the disciples asked Jesus, when they tried to cast out that spirit and it wouldn't come out, they asked him, why didn't it happen? Because he cast it out. And they said, well, why didn't it happen when we tried to cast it out? He didn't mince words. It is because of your unbelief. Now, I'm not really going to teach on Matthew 17 today, although, you know, Dave has taught on it eloquently many, many times, and I'm sure we will in this season again. But the point is, we teach on fasting because it's one of the tools that deals with unbelief. In that same passage, now, he says, this kind cometh not out. This kind of what? See, when I grew up, they said that kind of devil. He did not say the devil was the problem. They said, why couldn't we cast him out? He did not say, because it's a big, nasty devil. No, he said, it's because of your unbelief. So what needs to come out is the unbelief. If you get the unbelief out, the devil will come out. You got that? You got to deal with the unbelief. That's what we're dealing with. Tongues deals with it. Confession of the word deals with it. Even worship. Worship deals with it. All of these things are a means to an end. We are coming to the end where when we lay hands on the sick, they recover first time, every time, no exceptions. And not just the fivefold. I'm talking about, how does Dave say it? Mary Wallpaper, Joe Public. I don't care if you consider yourself to be the toenail on the little toe of the body of Christ. You're above Satan and he's under your feet. He's under you. You have authority to cast out devils, to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Say it with me again. First time, every time, no exceptions. Now that's where revival lives. That's where we're going. And the devil can just, where we're going. When you were raised in construction and truck driving, you have to be careful. Hallelujah. Let's start today in Luke 5. Let's pick it up in verse 33. When he keeps bringing something back up that I keep trying to go over, or can I say ignore? That's rebellion on my part. This is like the third time he's brought this up again, and I know most of you know this. Keep your place in Luke 6. Go to Matthew 17 just for a moment. You need some ammunition against footnote theology. hope I'm saying this right. Yes, there it is. So Matthew 17:19 is where I just said, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing. Do you see that in your Bible? Nothing shall be impossible to you. See, they thought it was impossible to get that devil out. Otherwise, it would have come out. But he said, if you ever really get this, nothing will be impossible to you. But now what he's reminding me of, see, verse 21, how be it, I like how Dave interpreted that, this is how it be, giving you the understanding, this kind of what, devil? This kind of unbelief cometh not out, but by prayer and fasting. Now, three times, I was just going to, because we've said it so many times before, I was just going to skip over this. Many of your modern translations leave out verse 21. Many of your Bibles, it may be there in italics. It may be there with a footnote saying it wasn't in the original. My deep theological response to that is... Because go to Mark 7:29. I'm pretty sure that's right. Or 7. Hang on. Oh, no, it's Mark 9. I'm sorry. Mark chapter 9 and verse 29. Same story. Pick it up in verse 28. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now, you don't have that same footnote there. I've never found a Bible that does. Because that's in every translation. If it belongs in Mark, it belongs in Matthew. Now, if your Bible is one of those that doesn't have Matthew 17:21, we have a receptacle right by the water fountain on your way out. I'm not kidding. Because that's not the only mistake in that Bible. I'm telling you right now. I wouldn't keep it. I wouldn't have it in my house. I wouldn't do God the dishonor by having it in my house. That's how strong I feel about it. Now, I'm not King James only. I love the King James Bible. There's mistakes in it too. Okay? Not nearly as many as that one. New King James. If I didn't have a King James, I probably would use a New King James. But thank God I have a King James and I ain't using it. I love you guys. All right. I tried to bypass that three times. That is for somebody. Now, seriously, quit falling for that trash. That belongs in your Bible. This kind of unbelief cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. That does belong in your Bible. It wouldn't be in Mark if it didn't belong in Matthew. It's the same story, the same truth. Now, quit letting footnote theology dictate truth to you. Read the Bible. Read a real one. See, I wasn't going to do that. I'm nice. No, anyway. No, okay. Now, getting back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 5, picking it up in verse 33. And they said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers? And likewise, the disciples of the Pharisees. But thine, meaning your disciples, Jesus, your disciples, thine, well, they eat and drink. See, I want to be one of his disciples. Anyway, I'm sorry. They eat and drink. And he said unto them, can you make the children of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them. Now, let me ask you, is that our day or not? I know Christ is in your heart, but physically in his glorified body, where is he? He's seated at the right hand of God. He's not walking around on planet Earth. The bridegroom has been taken away. And then shall they fast. What? In those days they shall what? Notice it's not maybe. They shall fast. And then he starts giving them the reason why. He spake also a parable unto them. Now, what's a parable? That's a natural illustration of a spiritual principle to help the natural mind understand it. So he spoke a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh it rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. Now, if you underline in your Bible, that phrase is so important. The new agreeth not with the old. I hope it's that way in the New King James. Is it very close? The new agreeth not with the old. Now, there is your key as to why fasting works right there. You'll see it. He's got a visual for you today that'll help. Then he gives another illustration. Okay. Now, first, before we even leave there, what's he talking about? Well, trust me, at my age, I have a bunch of old shirts. See, just about the time I get a shirt really broke in, if I'm not careful, Sue will throw it away. Starting to get threadbare around the elbows, you know, and maybe a little frayed around the collar, and she's getting a little embarrassed for me to wear it, and I'm going, baby, it just now broke in. You know, a shirt like that that's been washed and washed at my age now, 10 years, 15 years. You get a little hole in it, and you patch it with a brand new cloth that's never been washed. Is that going to work? No. Now, today they've been able to reduce the shrinkage a lot. Things don't shrink like they... hardly anybody here is old enough. See, I remember when you used to have to buy your Levi's 4 inches longer than you wanted them. I remember when you had to do that, and it was a guessing game. You used to have to buy 2 or 3 pair before you figured it out. Am I telling the truth? We got a few in here that remembers that. I mean, it'd be plumb down past your shoe. But after you wash it, just right. Clothes used to shrink like that, okay? And so you couldn't put a new patch that's never been washed on an old garment that had been washed and used and used and used, because first time you wash it, these two do not agree. They don't react the same. You got that? The new doesn't agree with the old. The old doesn't. We say, where are you going? Oh, I'm shrinking. Well, we don't shrink. I did that. No, we're shrinking. They don't agree. And I get this part. A tear is inevitable. It's not maybe it'll tear. It will tear. And that's why he says no man does that. But see, that's exactly what God's about to do. I want to talk about the bottle here too, but he's going to have to put a new spirit into an old cloth. Can I say it that way? The new is different material. The new is spiritual. The old is natural. You got that? They don't agree. And if we don't do, and no man would do that, but God has no choice. I used to be so upset with it when early, 25 years ago. I was so upset. Why in the world didn't you just go ahead and give me my glorified body? Why do I have to walk around in this one that wants Krispy Kreme donuts? And at the time, I was smoking like a freight train. My body craving nicotine all the time. Why in the world did you leave me in this thing? And I didn't understand it. I thought, you know, I thought he was just a cruel taskmaster in those days. I didn't understand authority. See, Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. But if you'll notice, once he had his glorified body, now he could do supernatural things. He could walk through a wall, eat a fish, walk back through the wall, and the fish not slide down the wall. I mean, I think that's just great. You know, the fish gets glorified when he eats it. Hallelujah, I guess. But he never, you look, he never healed a sick person after that. Once he had his glorified body, he never healed a sick person, never cast out a devil. Why not? See, in order to have authority here during this dispensation, it won't always be this way. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But in this earth, you have to have, in order to have authority here, you have to have a body from here. Jesus has all authority in heaven. None of us have any argument with that. But see, how does he have authority here? Through us. You already got it, see? We are the body of Christ. In Ephesians it says, we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. He has authority here because you're wearing that old sinful fallen body from this earth, and he had to leave you in it so that he could have authority and have dominion here through you. And he either does it through you or it does not get done. Did you hear that? And that could be done through your prayers. It's another lesson. But still, you had to pray him through a body here on earth for that to happen. Am I preaching good? I'm preaching good. Okay. All right. I'm getting a thumbs up over here from somebody I trust here. Now, if I get a thumbs down from Jerry, I'm just going to walk out. Anyway. You'll pray for me and I'll get healed. But anyway. Hallelujah. All right, let's go into the second example. That's pretty good about the cloth. You got that? Now, he's got a visual for you here with the second. He says, no man putteth new wine into old bottles. Now, in modern America today, when you think of a bottle, you think of a glass bottle. But now, if you look it up in the Greek here, he's talking about a wineskin. Probably made out of goat leather or something, but it's a wineskin. It's some kind of a skin. And you don't put new wine into an old wineskin. Well, why not? Well, that old wineskin has had wine in it. It's been drunk out of. It's had new wine. It's had wine in it again. It has expanded and shrunk. It's very similar to the old cloth. It's been used. And it's done about all this shrinking or expanding it's ever going to do. Don't look at my body when I say this. It's well used. Okay? But see, God's got to do something new. He's going to put, and he says, now, no man does this. See, verse 37, no man, you wouldn't in the natural ever do this. Put new wine into an old wineskin like that. Nobody would do it. Why? Because it will never work. That new wine is new. It's still fermenting. It's still expanding. And that old wineskin is brittle. It's old. It's done all of the expanding it's ever going to do. And if you just keep putting in that new wine, how many wants more of him and less of you? You keep putting in more and more and more and more. What's going to happen? He tells you. The new wine will burst the bottle. And it will be spilled. Not maybe so. I didn't see this for years. Confession is good for you, right? For years I considered fasting optional. I don't care how much Dave taught that it wasn't. Well, I did. That Alan really needs to fast. I'm telling you. Nathan, he really needs to fast. I used to laugh. They'd say, those messages, you know, it's the shovel message. You know what I mean when I say, you get one that you don't like? That's for them back there. For those of you that can't see me, I'm taking a shovel and like taking whatever it was given, and I'm taking that and I'm flipping it about four rows behind me. That's got to be for them back there. It's because I don't need to fast. Well, yeah, I do too. Gary is no exception, and I hate to tell you this, dear heart. Neither are you. Now, Jesus does not exaggerate. He's telling the truth. And he's saying, see, he just got through telling them, my disciples don't fast. You know why? What they were doing as old wine in old bottles. They weren't born again yet. They didn't have the new wine on the inside of them yet. How were they operating? They were old covenant. Let's say it this way. They were still spiritually dead. They weren't born again. They were strictly going out in the authority of his name. What he had told them to do. He said, I give you authority to do this. Now go do it. And that's what they were doing. But they were operating. Dave, I listened to his fasting series again this week. They were operating under his mantle. Okay? They were not operating as new wine in old bottles. They were operating as old wine in old bottles. But they were doing it under the mantle of the new, and that's Jesus. Can you see the difference? But Jesus is going, this new covenant where you guys are going, he says, no, my disciples right now, they don't have to fast. The reason is they're old wine and old bottles. But if you're going to follow me into the new birth, how many of you know Jesus is the firstborn from the dead? If you follow him, you're going to get born from the dead. You got that? And he says, at that time, you're going to have new wine in old bottles. And you're going to have to do something about that old bottle. Because look what he says. He's not exaggerating. Or else, the new wine will burst the bottle. Your flesh will not be able to handle it. And a rip, a tear, a disgrace of some kind is going to come. And we've seen it time and again down through history. Even though God would use people, men and women, in miracles and signs and wonders and all kinds of things, but if they didn't do something about that old wineskin, be a money scandal, sex scandal of some kind, or get off into such weird doctrine like, you know, only my palate of all the humans ever born, only my jaw can properly say the name Yahweh. Well, and that guy, and I'm not really making fun. I mean, I admire that person, if you know who I'm talking about, tremendously. But fasting, look at it in your Bible. The new wine will burst the bottle. New King James? Is it affirmative like that? Not a maybe so? The new wine will. Now, when Dave, I like how Nathan said it. Dave often teaches in code. Dave would say it like this. There'll be a limit on you by your flesh. There'll be a limit. You can go that far. And the flesh is going, you try and go one step farther. I'm going to break on you. I'm going to break on you. Don't you even think about going one more, not one more ounce of new wine. Nope. This is it. This is all I'm taking. You'll see it here in a minute. And Dave would say, he'd use his hands. Those of you that can't see me, I've got my right hand representing the flesh and my left hand representing the spirit. He said, you'll just keep bumping up against that ceiling of flesh. Or you could say it this way. Your flesh will say, this is all the new wine you can have. Can't have any more of him. Let me put it that way. Can't have any more of him. You can't walk in anything more than what you're walking in. Because the flesh has got a ceiling. He says, but in the same way that praying in tongues and meditation of the word builds up that spirit man, fasting deals. It enforces that positional truth of death with your flesh. And it starts dealing with the old wineskin. The way Jesus says it here, he says, the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put in new bottles, and both are preserved. Well, we're not going to get a new bottle, a new wineskin, until we get our glorified one. So what's he talking about? The subject here is fasting. Fasting will enforce that positional truth of death to the point it will preserve your flesh. It will preserve your wineskin so you can have more of him. That flesh will eventually drop down below the operation of your spirit. And your spirit man goes dancing on top. Yay! Hallelujah! He's Lord! And miracles will start happening. Prayers will get answered that you prayed 20 years ago. And you're going, oh, my fasting moved God. No. You finally moved yourself in a position to receive from God. You allowed your spirit to rise above the operation of the flesh. Now God's dealing with his real child, which is the spirit part of you. Is that good stuff or what? Meditating on this, new wine. Now I'm going to teach in macro mode here for a little bit. You know what macro is? See, micro is when we start getting into every verse. And then we start getting into every word of every verse. And then we start getting into the Greek. And then we start getting into the tenses of the Greek. And then we get into that, well, is this classic Greek or Koine Greek? You know, what I'm saying is I like to teach that way. And it's all good. You'll find truth all the way down there. But sometimes you get so far down there, you're inspecting the bug that was under the bark of the tree, and you go, wasn't I here to cut down the tree? Anyway, we're going to teach in macro mode for a moment. New water, new wine. I got to thinking about, the very first miracle that Jesus ever did. What did he do? Turn water into wine. The very first miracle. He was already. It was a type and a shadow of what he was here to do. It was a type and a shadow of the new birth. To take that which is natural and change it into something supernatural. And it was all done by him. Now the analogy is not just perfect here, because if you go back and read it in John, which plainly says this is the first miracle, it says the water there was kept in these stone water pots. You got that? And it's really the kind of pots, you know how the Pharisees, they wouldn't eat or drink without washing their hands? Well, that's what those pots were there for. They were the water that you would use to wash your hands or do whatever, you know, pour some water out. So here we had water. Let me get back to my notes here. Here we had, and again, I can't with macro, so, but the teacher in me, those were stone pots. And they were not old wine. They were water. Gary, that's just accident? No. See, what he's really talking about there, salvation is not just for the Jews. If you want to know the truth of it, the old wine is the old covenant. It's what they had under the old covenant, but the world didn't have that, did they? What did Paul say to the Ephesians? Before you found Christ, you were without God and without hope in the world. But the Jews weren't like that, were they? They had a covenant. It was old wine, but they had a covenant with God's. They had a wineskin that had been, as Jews, they were raised with much of the knowledge of God. The world's not like that. Ephesus wasn't like that. They worshipped the goddess Diana, for crying out loud. They were like water, no taste at all, in stone pots. Stone is pretty inflexible. Isn't that true? Okay. Those are other lessons for another day. You see why? Man, it's a lot, though. There's a lot in there, isn't there? Okay. Now, think about this. Though even this very first miracle, where he changed water into wine. See, water, we got to have water to live. But has anyone ever got drunk on water? See, water doesn't affect the senses, does it? You can be full of water and be fine, except you got to find a bathroom. But what I mean is it does not affect your senses. You know, you drink all the water you want, drive a car, no problem. Okay? But wine does affect the senses. And get this, the more wine you drink, the more it affects your senses. Isn't that right? Now see, the new wine that he's talking about here, this new birth, and everything to do with it, I'm going to call it Christ in you, that new wine is supernatural. The old body, or say the old wineskin, the old bottle, is natural. The new wine, when you're praying in other tongues, see, Jesus, what a lesson I did just a week or two ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, said, if the natural mind could understand truly the things of the Spirit, Jesus would have taught it to the 12 before he was the crucifixion and resurrection. But he told them plainly, I can't take you any farther. I brought you as far as I can bring a natural man. You have no capacity in you to understand any more than what I've told you. And if they could have, he would have told them. That's when he said the Holy Spirit, he's going to have to be the one to guide you into these things. But he knew that the Holy Spirit, that would only come after they were born again. In 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says plainly, as long as you have the spirit of the world, you cannot know the things of the Spirit of God. But once you've been born of God, Now, the Holy Spirit, He can teach you spirit to spirit. I like how Dave says, duck to duck. Remember Chuck the duck? Chuck the duck could not learn from a chicken. He had to learn duck things from another duck. You, child of God, have got to learn God things from God Himself. And I'm talking about God the Holy Ghost. There's a spirit born in you. That's the new wine. And it's got to be brought forward. It's got to be nurtured. Now, the nature is full grown. Your nature. But again, we're talking about the spiritual man. You're born again as a child. That spiritual man has to grow up into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. It has to be taught. Isn't that right? The more you're taught, the more the wine fills the bottle. But now get this. The more you're taught, you're being taught from another realm. Because you are a creature from another realm. You are a supernatural being living in a natural sack. The meat sack, isn't that what Nathan called it? The meat bag, meat sack. Mimics. Now the new wine, as you're being nurtured, and we're still talking about revival. The new wine, as you're being taught, progressively you're coming to the place of believing this. All things are possible. All things are possible. The Holy Spirit, as He's teaching you, isn't that what He's teaching you? In every realm, everything, all things are possible. But the old bottle, the natural part of you says, now I know what's possible and what's not possible. The flesh says, no more wine. That's enough. I don't need to change anymore. And by the way, I don't need to lose any more of the dominion than what I've already lost. Your flesh wants to control you. That's that ceiling. That's what Dave was talking about. So in this analogy, he gave me this. I didn't bring any props with me because you know why? I got this while Alan was teaching. Anyway, I don't know why, Alan. It was good stuff, but it was a good message this morning. What if I brought in I thought about bringing in one of those large contractor bags. Y'all know what I mean? A trash bag for contractors. They're big. They're kind of heavy duty, right? And that represents my old flesh sack. That's Gary. Okay. When I got born again, the new wine came in. The nature comes in full grown. But the walk, I don't know if you've noticed this, is progressive. But it started really quick for Gary. Let's take new wine. We start pouring Gary's old sack. By the way, it's the same old sack today that I had 30 some odd years ago. My flesh is still my flesh. Isn't that right? Same old bag. Papa don't have a brand new bag. I'm sorry. I told you I love the old music, you know, James Brown. Ow! I feel good. Anyway, sorry. Lost it for a moment. Papa's got a brand new bag. Do-do-do-do. Ow! Oh, anyway. So, Dave's looking like, what is that? He doesn't even know what it is. But if I brought in an old contractor trash bag here, and let's start pouring in the new wine. Gary got born again, 4th of July, 1980. Here comes the new wine. Shoo, we're putting some in the old contractor's bag here. Now, the nature comes in full grown. I want to keep emphasizing that. But still, here comes a new birth. Well, right away, it starts dealing with my flesh. And for Gary, there was alcohol, nicotine, pornography, the love of money, cussing. I don't know what all else. A lot of things. Immediately, that new wine and my sack did not agree. And the new wine, I'm just going to pick one. The new wine said, this pornography has got to go. My flesh sack argued with it. I still remember those conversations. Now, I didn't talk out loud, but this going on in my mind. This pornography's got to go. And the sack is arguing back. you can picture me holding a sack and a voice coming out of the sack. What do you mean this pornography's got to go? Do you know how much money we have invested in this? Now, back in those days, we didn't have pornography like they have today. There was no internet. Everything was magazines. And I'd been collecting my pornography magazines for years. And I was a spiritually dead man. I mean, I had no shame about it at all. If you'd have come visited, we'd have had tea. Well, we wouldn't have. We'd have had a bourbon and Coke. And what, or whatever you liked, while we looked at my pornography. It didn't embarrass me at all. In fact, I put them in little clear plastic covers for them to keep them in pristine condition. Now here's the sack arguing with the new wine. I know Daniel's looking at me like, Daniel, I did not always look like this, okay? I wasn't 71 when this happened, okay? The sack is arguing back. Do you know how much money we've got invested in this? I've been spending money on this for years. What do you mean this has got to go? It's got to go. Then I'll tell you one thing about that new nature. It is relentless. Would not leave me alone. Would not leave me alone. 2 or 3 days go by. The argument's going back and forth. But I couldn't get any peace. I just couldn't get any rest. And it didn't take very long. Sue was there the day it happened. We got them all up and out they went. Then he starts, okay, new wine's in the sack. New wine started coming against my music. Now, I'm not coming against your music. Music for you may not be an idol. Trust me, it was for me. He starts, this music's got to go. By the way, mine wasn't nearly as bad as raging against the machine, but anyway. Who was it? Mike told me one time, bad company is wimpy compared to that, you know. So anyway, I know, but I loved it. And so, what? My music? Here comes. Can you see a voice coming out of the trash bag? That's really what was happening. God's pouring in the new wine, and the sack is arguing with the new wine because they do not agree. Get rid of the music. Well, that was a lesser battle. And pretty, within a day or two, all those beautiful vinyl records that today would be worth a lot of money, they all went except one. And it was bad company. You Afeccionados. Yes, the black one with the white letters. Bad company. Bum, bum, bum. Bad company. Anyway. And I hid that one. Isn't it? The sack is stupid. The sack thinks God won't see me hide it. I just couldn't part with it at that moment. I hid that thing. And I never listened to it again. But we moved not just a few months later and I found it. And I was so embarrassed by then. I said, oh God, I'm so embarrassed. I forgot that I even hid that thing and I got rid of it too. Now the point is this. We all start out the same. We've all got our meat sack. We're all dealing with that sack. The thing of it is, we don't get to get our new body until we hear that trump from heaven. Isn't that right? So we're going to have to deal with this one so Jesus can have authority through us on this planet. Now, we're always praying. Oh, we sing those songs. To be like Jesus. This is why I don't sing. To be like Jesus. Oh, and anyway, what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus would lay hands on them and they'd get healed. And what does he want you to do? Lay hands on them and they get healed. I want more of him, less of me. Sounds real good till it comes fasting time. Then one day, as if all of that wasn't bad enough, rough enough, then one day you run into Pastor Dave Roberson. You've already been battling the flesh quite a bit, you know. And he's such a nice guy and so full of love. And he just says, you know, if you pray in tongues a lot, you will change. And so you start praying in tongues a lot. And all hell breaks loose in your life. Because now you've poured gasoline on the fire. See, he said, he that's coming after me, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And it's like the Holy Ghost, he pours fire on the gasoline. And I mean, now you're starting to really grow. I mean, he's pouring in more and more and more, and the sack is rebelling and rebelling. You're going, no, no, no. Your flesh wants to be Lord of your life. And it does not care if anybody ever gets out of the wheelchair or not. As long, well, it wouldn't mind it as long as it gets the glory. But if it's not going to get any reward or get any glory, then it does not care anything about getting them out of the wheelchair. It's got to die. Now, it's already been declared dead. Fasting is the number one tool that we've been given to enforce that position of death and to mortify the flesh. So the new wine, that new nature being taught by God, you're praying in other tongues and the Holy Spirit, He's communicating the mysteries to you and your spirit man is beginning to understand. And it's going, my goodness, I'm supposed to be laying hands on the sick and they recover. I'm supposed to cast out devils and they come out first time, every time, no exception. And you're growing and growing and you hit that ceiling. Because see, the flesh, it doesn't take it very long to figure out. The more that the new man has dominion, the less the flesh has dominion. And it's losing its control over you. And it will fight that at all costs. It will fight it at all costs. So the new wine, it's learning from the Holy Ghost. And it's going, you know, all things are possible, really. It's your new man is from that realm of God, born of God, where all things are possible. It's not even from this realm. And it's being taught by a supernatural teacher from that realm. And the new man on the inside is going, all things are possible. And the flesh goes, I got to stop this. I'm losing my control. That Gary, if I don't watch him, he won't listen to me at all. And so finally I started not listening to it. Do you know your flesh agrees with you on fasting? For about 30 minutes. Actually, mine doesn't even agree there. When I think about fasting, all I got to do is think about it. I don't think I want to start a fast tomorrow. Instantly, I want a double cheeseburger right now. I didn't want it 5 minutes ago, but as soon as I think about fasting, y'all know what I'm getting a few. You know what I'm talking about. See, the flesh goes no more wine. I don't, no more of him. Yes, sir. You want to see the new wine in a different place? Go to Galatians 2:20. I'm going to show you Paul describing the new wine in his old body. It's Galatians 2:20. Paul's describing it. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now notice, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. Now there's your new wine. Christ, that's the new man. Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, notice, in the flesh. The life that I'm living while I am wearing this old wineskin. How are you living it, Paul? I'm living it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. And gave himself for me. What's Paul saying? There is new wine in this old bottle. And it's Christ living in me. Another place he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want more of him. Pray in tongues. I want less of me. Fast. In this illustration right here, this might help you a little bit. If you really read the whole thing, that chapter in Galatians, what's going on there? This is where Peter was caught up in the dissimulation. See, Peter had a hard time letting go of the dietary law of Moses. That event on the rooftop where the vision, the sheet was let down, that's roughly, according to history, that's roughly 10 years after the resurrection. Peter was there on the day when Jesus said, not that which goeth into a man defileth a man, but that which goeth out defileth a man. And he declared all foods clean. Peter was there that day. 10 years later, when the sheets let down, at one point there, he says, Lord, nothing unclean has ever entered my mouth. What does that tell you? He still hadn't let go of the dietary law of Moses. And it was affecting his perception regarding the Gentiles, that God was wanting him to be carry the gospel into Cornelius's house and start getting the Gentiles saved. But his refusal to let go of the natural dietary law was also confusing him regarding God's plan for the Gentiles. Can you see that? Three times God had to show me. I like Peter. He's stubborn. I don't often get it on the first time either. Three times God has to let that sheet down, says Peter, kill and eat, and it's full of all kinds of swarmy things, things that are unlawful. He says, Lord, no, nothing unlawful or unclean. Nothing's ever gone into my mouth. He says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And he says, do not call common that which I have cleansed. There's three men down there. I want you to go with them. Before it was over, now we got the Gentiles coming into the kingdom. Well, thank God for that. I wouldn't be in there if it wasn't for them. Thank God Peter obeyed God. Now, the point of that was Peter, can you tell, he had a hard time letting go of that. Now, here's years later, and they're over in the region of Galatia. Peter, at this point, has gotten free because he's eating with the Gentiles. Now, I like how Dave says it. They were probably having barbecued pork. Peter's in there right along with the rest of them. You know, hand me another napkin as he wipes the barbecue sauce from his mouth, you know. Until they find out that James and some of the others are coming, the uppity ups are coming from Jerusalem. It's like, oh, I got to go, where's that wet napkin? I got to clean myself all off and act like I'm still eating the kosher foods. Peter still has a stronghold? Peter has a stronghold, doesn't he, in that area? Now, let me just ask you, Peter and Paul, because Paul's the one that had to correct him. Got that? Peter and Paul, both of them, don't they have old wineskins? Yes. They both have old wineskins. Let me ask you this. Are they both born again? Do they have new wine? So new wine has been poured into the old bottles. But of the two, which one has more of the mind of Christ? Paul does. That's the illustration I'm trying to make. As your spirit man gets taught by revelation knowledge more and more, in that same passage in 1 Corinthians 2, he says we have the mind of Christ, where he's saying we have access to all the mind of Christ if you'll allow the Holy Spirit to pray those mysteries through you. Paul had done it more than Peter. I'm going to say it this way. There was more of the... See, you've either got Christ or you don't. You're either born again or you're not. I'm not trying to... What I'm saying, though, how much you know Him, how much you fellowship with Him, how much wine you're carrying, it's real obvious. Paul was more mature right there than Peter. If I said it that way, you wouldn't have a problem. Paul understood the mystery more than Peter. If I said it that way, you wouldn't have a problem. Paul had more wine. There was more of the understanding, the mind of Christ, however you want to phrase it, in Paul than there was at Peter at that moment. Now, Peter later on, he appreciated Paul. Later on in his letter, he says, a lot of people, they twist the scriptures even that Paul writes. Some things hard to understand. Well, we're going into revival. I am not content where the church at large and our church in particular is walking. Thank God for the answers to prayer we're receiving. We're keeping a log of it. We're having a higher and higher percentage of answered prayer that I'm aware of all the time. But I can tell you, we've got family members right here today that we have prayed for, commanded, used the name of Jesus, done everything that we know to do, and as of this moment, they're not healed. That is not okay. And we're going to press until we have it first time, every time, no exceptions. I've only got about 5 or 10 more minutes. I wish this prophecy, this one, would have come through me. But it came through somebody else here at the prayer center. But it's been looked at, and how does the New Testament do that? We're to judge every word. Okay? If this one's already been judged, everybody's looked at it. I believe it's really God. The title on this one is The Way Less Traveled. Now, several times the Lord spoke through me coming into this year and others. This year, our way is going to become narrower and higher. You understand that? He's going to have us, I don't care how much he's dealt with your old wineskin, your wineskin's about to get squished more. Squished into the grave that it belongs into. And our walk has become more narrow, which also means that our walk will become higher. So let me read this to you. It's called The Way Less Traveled. It's kind of long. It says, get off the beaten path where many walk with me, and run now on a certain and sure path where I lead. I am pleased by those who have been following a narrowing path to higher places in me. But now we must walk on a path less traveled. Greater strength and faith will be exercised than on the more beaten path that we're now leaving. Rest in knowing there is always grace for the journey and for the next place in me. This grace is found in our fellowship and through your dependency on me. Now I am calling, come nearer into closer fellowship with me. Closer and closer and closer is the way in which I lead. Love says, come deeper and know me more in the dimensions of my love, in greater understanding. For without this, your freedom and authority cannot be complete. Lay aside every weight that slows you down and sin that does easily beset you, and further your training in me. It is time to move beyond current constraints into greater communion and liberty. One of the ways I will be leading you is in yielding to times with me, not in busyness, but in stillness. Yielding to the quiet of you. Yielding to the quiet of you and me, where there are instructions and understandings to be received. Line upon line, I have been teaching you, and by precept upon precept, understanding is increasing. Many are hearing me calling, come now and linger not, for there is, I get this, there is much yet to receive. Did you hear that? Where we go is not well traveled. This is the way I am leading. It is a way of more quiet, where stillness is further developed, dependency strengthened, and fellowship with my spirit is greatly increased. In this, we are going to run faster, but you will not be breathless, for I am the ever-present breath you need. Stay here, feet, stay here. I have been calling and nudging, and many are responding, and this faith pleases me. Great must be your dependence on me, and great must be the increase through our fellowship of how you see and perceive and believe. The kingdom is at hand and within you, and there is more to learn about these things. There is increase where I am leading, where your fellowship with my spirit takes on new depth and meaning. Dependency, yielding, and believing will all be strengthened as we climb to higher places in me. The pleasure for many, the pressure for many is about, quote, should be, where you should be, what you should be doing, what you should already be experiencing, and how much farther along you should be. Set your sights beyond where it seems you should be and see where you already are in me. You are on the journey in my arms, gaining greater understanding. You are continuing, enduring, letting patience complete the work, and you are loved immeasurably by me. The enemy is saying to many that they are late, missing the call, having too many weaknesses to go where I lead. But that is exactly why we are leaving the more beaten path to the way in which I am leading. For the further we go, the less you will carry and the more of my life you will walk in. You will understand more about my love as you ascend the heights where I am leading. For I love you in ways that you don't yet see, but you shall as you follow in the way I lead. On this way that is less traveled, I am your help when you feel weak. I am your strength for the journey. Do not look at tomorrow as if it should be today. Set your sights very steady, looking to me, for I am leading you exactly where and how you need. Continue to sow to spiritual things, for you will reap abundantly from that which you are sowing. Sow and keep your eyes on me. Come now, come up higher. Don't look down. Keep your eyes on me. Come often to my arms to drink of my love and receive the strength you need, for you will be glad for this next part of your journey with me. Now, particularly in that prophecy, he's talking about quiet time. When you fast, now I've got this from people. I don't have a lot of experience on long fasts, Honesty Day, but I've been talking with those that do. They tell me that when you do a real fast and you do it correctly, your body gets to the place where your stomach just shuts down. See, I'm getting nods from those that have been there. It's a quiet place. It's amazing. In the Old Testament, God says, don't fast to make your voice heard on high. Dave says, no, we fast so we can hear his voice on low. Well, fasting causes a quietness to come. And the other thing here that I would recommend in line of this, what I do know about is praying a lot. Dave, they asked the question, Pastor Dave, I only have 7 hours a week to pray. Should I pray 1 hour every day? Or should I pray 7 hours all at once? And Dave would never hesitate. He says, no, you pray 7 hours all at once, which surprised me the first time I heard it. Well, why would I do that? Because the longer you pray, the quieter you get. That's what he's talking about. Don't abandon praying while you're driving the car, doing the dishes, mowing the lawn, whatever it is you do. Don't abandon that. But he's saying for really clear, he's looking for quiet times of fellowship with him. I highly recommend quiet prayer, just you and him in prayer and fasting. We'll get to those quiet places where we can hear his voice on low. He says he has a lot yet to teach us. I'm telling you, with all that's in me, we have not begun to see God's best. What has been is not what shall be. And this city will see the glory of the Lord in revival. And you're the ones that's going to help usher it in. Did you get that? In Jesus' name I say and you say, amen. Amen. So be it. Hallelujah.